To the eye, the thing simply and instantly disappeared. But not to the ultravision of the observer's plates, and especially not to the CRX tracers solidly attached by Kinnison and by Henderson. They held, and the chief pilot, already warned, was on the trail as fast as he could punch his keys. Through atmosphere, through stratosphere, into interplanetary space flew pursued and pursuer at ever-increasing speed. The Dauntless overtook her proposed victim fairly easily. The Bosconian was fast, but the patrol's new flyer was the fastest thing in space. But tractors would not hold against the now universal standard equipment of shears, and the heavy secondaries served only to push the fleeing vessel along all the faster, and the dreadful primaries could not be used yet. "Not yet," cautioned the Admiral. "Don't get too close. Wait until there's nothing detectable in space." Finally, an absolutely empty region was entered. The word to close up was given, and Prellan drank of the bitter cup which so many commanders of vessels of the patrol had had to drain. The gallingly fatal necessity of engaging a ship which was both faster and more powerful than his own. The Bosconian tried, of course. His beams raged out at full power against the screens of the larger ship, but without effect. Three primaries lashed out as one. The fleeing vessel, structure, and contents ceased to be. The Dauntless returned to the torn and ravaged city. The Maulers were gone. The lumbering caterpillars, what were left of them, were clanking away, reeking smoking hot in every plate and member. Only the firemen were left, working like Trojans now with explosives, rays, water, carbon dioxide, snow, clinging and smothering chemicals, anything and everything which would isolate, absorb, or dissipate any portion of the almost incalculable heat energy so recently and so profligately released. Fire apparatus from four planets was at work. There were pumpers, ladder trucks, hose and chemical trucks. There were men in heavily insulated armor. Vehicles and men alike were screened against the specific wavelengths of heat, and under the direction of a fire marshal in his red speedster high in air, they fought methodically and efficiently the conflagration which was the aftermath of battle. They fought, and they were winning. And then it rained. As though the heavens themselves had been outraged by what had been done, they opened, and rain sluiced down in level sheets. It struck hissingly the nearby structures, but it did not touch the central area at all. Instead, it turned to steam in midair, and, rising or being blown aside by the tempestuous wind, it concealed the redly glaring raw wound beneath a blanket of crimson fog. "Well, that's that," the port admiral said slowly. His face was grim and stern.